We can look again there, please, at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to speak on something very practical this morning to the congregation. It says there at the beginning of verse 32 in Ephesians chapter 4, "Be ye kind one to another." The title of the message this morning is "The Power of Kindness." The power of kindness. Before we turn to the word, we'll just have a wee word of prayer and look to the Lord now that he might grant help in the preaching of the word. Father in heaven, you know us today. As we look to thee, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst look upon us. And Father, you know the need of all of our hearts. And Lord, we ask that now that thy word might come with freshness, that it might be a word in season, that it might help us, that it might encourage us as well. And Father, we pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would use the word. Lord, we could stand and we don't want what we say in any way to sound like a lecture. But Lord, we do pray that what we say would be as thus and thus saith the Lord. Father, we look to thee now. Bless each person gathered in. We thank you for bringing us all along today. And Lord, we just pray that you'd meet the need of every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that in some parts of the world, men make outlandish claims regarding things that they can do. And those things that they claim they are able to do belong only to the Lord. We hear of these miracles and so on. I have told you before, or mentioned to you before, I think, the one about the man who told the people that he could walk on water. And he got this great crowd to gather along to this lake, I believe it was, where he was going to walk along on the water. But as the people were gathering, the water receded, and the platform that he was going to be standing on then was visible to the people. He was found out to be a fraud, of course. And certainly, when it comes to God's power, and even to his attributes, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, these are things that the Christian can never equal. And yet, having said that this morning, there are some things that the Lord would have us to seek to imitate. And we have looked before over there in Galatians chapter 5, and we've looked there at the fruit of the Spirit, at some of the aspects of it. And whenever you read there, one of the things that you read about is gentleness. It's a great quality. When it's found in a man or in a woman, and it's something that is produced by the Holy Spirit in the individual, that gentleness, and the word that is found, gentleness, over there in Galatians, is often translated kindness. And you could say that the two words are interchangeable right through the New Testament there. The Lord Jesus, he showed great tenderness and great gentleness and great kindness to those around him. Now, he didn't always say what people wanted to hear, but nonetheless, what he said was still a kindness. He didn't always react, perhaps, in a way that some would have wanted him to react, but his reaction was still done in kindness. And therefore, kindness is something which ought to be important to each and every Christian. And if we are to enjoy the Lord and enjoy Christian fellowship, and to enjoy walking with the Lord, then we will want to have kindness as part and parcel of our life. You see, the Christian is one who experiences so much kindness from the Lord. Over there, if I can read with you, and you needn't turn to it, I'm just going to read a verse. It's over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and it's the verse 36. The psalmist David here, he is full of joy. He says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness," or "thy kindness, hath made me great." He was acknowledging that all that he was, and in his day he was plenty as a king and even as an individual man, but all that he was, he was giving the glory there to the Lord. There are words that are almost identical found in the Psalm 18 and the verse 35 as well. So as we look this morning at the power of kindness, I trust that the Lord will use his word to help us with kindness regarding each other and regarding the world around us. I want to notice several things about this power of kindness. Notice first of all then the place of kindness. The place of kindness. If you look over there, just really just back a page or two to Ephesians chapter 2, and it's a verse 7. It says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So all true kindness that comes to the Christian comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we cannot perform the miracles and we cannot walk on water, and there's a whole host of other things that we cannot do, this is something, brethren and sisters, that we really believe the Lord would have us to try to imitate. His kindness. And therefore you have the words, the beginning of verse 32 in chapter 4 of Ephesians, be ye kind one to another. He's been speaking to them and to encourage them to have something in their life. And I have to say this morning that this kindness is something that's contagious. It's contagious. God forbid, but if there's a really bad spirit about, whether it's among God's people in the church here or in your home or anywhere else for that matter, if there's a bad spirit about or a bitter spirit, that can be contagious. It can rub off, as we would say, onto other people. But so it is with kindness. And you and I today, we never know what might result out of the smallest kind deed. I was greatly struck about this during the week, just down where we live at the moment. There are two ladies. There's one lady who has come home to her daughter's house that's near ours, and she doesn't have an awful lot longer to live. And right next door to that, there's another lady lives with her daughter. She's in hospital at the moment. She doesn't have much time either. And they both have lived beside each other. And as neighbours, you don't want to be intrusive. You want to be there to help people if they need help, but you don't want to be intrusive. But there's this one lady who lives just down a little bit as well, a Christian woman, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I think she's a brethren woman. And she has, with one of the ladies, she's found, she's been a very good neighbour, and she's found, I believe, favour. And she has shown tremendous kindness to that person. Now, whether that person that she's helping or not is converted or not is open to question. I'm not sure about that at the moment. But she had an opportunity just recently to speak to the other people as well that are looking after the lady. And a tremendous opening to speak for the Lord. And folks, as I thought about her during the week, it all results from her kindness. Her kindness. Just a really nice lady. She is always has a nice word when she meets anyone that I know anyway. She meets me. And she's not a preacher. But she's a kind person. And what a difference it makes. What a difference a kind word can make. Let's just turn together there to, as we develop this a little bit, turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, and it says there in verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, those may seem like a strange verse there, a word fitly spoken. Well, the word fitly spoken, I may have mentioned this at another time some years ago, it means to be upon wheels. It means something which goes along very smoothly. The thought is of something that is not forced or dragged. Sometimes if we do something when we were a little boy and it wasn't good and we had to apologise for it and we sort of drop our head and say, that was supposed to be sorry. It had to be dragged out of us. And maybe that happens even when we're a bit bigger as well sometimes. But it had to be dragged out of it. It didn't come out smoothly. Well, the thought here is of words coming out smoothly. Telling us today, brothers and sisters, the spirit of the word is very important. The spirit in which the word is spoken is very important. There are people, and you know, you've heard them say, I'd rather have him throwing stones at me than him being sweet to me. because at least I know where I am with him, but I think he's a fraud. I'd rather have him throwing stones at me than him being sweet to me, because the person perceives that the word is dragged out and that there's no sincerity in it. The thought here in this verse 11 is of a word that is sincere and that comes from the heart. And it actually says there, you see the gold, apples of gold and pictures of silver. Really, it's speaking here of baskets of silver which were used. They were very ornate. They were very attractive and they gave pleasure. And in those baskets, like there were these golden apples. It was something that would catch the eye. If you're passing by and you saw these silver baskets and these lovely golden apples, you would see that there's something and that's nice. Well, that's the thought behind the words here. A word that is spoken with sincerity and in kindness, with the right spirit from the heart, it is like those ornate baskets with the apples of gold. It is very pleasant. It is something which is attractive. Something which stands out. And we know that silver is associated with redemption in the Bible. So we could develop this and say, well, you know, when you're looking at a Christian who has been kind in what they say, you are really seeing someone who is redeemed. And they are what they are, and they say what they're saying because they are Christ's. They have been redeemed by his precious blood. And we need never underestimate the power of a kind word. There's a whole passage over there in James chapter 3. I'm not going to go into it in great detail this morning. But it has a lot of things, and I'm going to keep this to me. It has a lot of things to say to me about my tongue and what I say to people. It actually says there that the tongue is a fire in verse 6. It says it's a world of iniquity. It says it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. And interestingly, the word course there is a word, again, called wheel. And it was the old time symbol of the whole life cycle from birth right to death. And therefore it was saying to us here, it setteth on fire the course of nature in all of your life. Doesn't matter what age you are. And this applies to us all. It says in verse 8, the tongue can be a deadly poison. That word poison is the same word that is translated rust. In chapter 5 and verse 3, where it says your gold and silver is cankered and rust. And the picture, when you take the both of them together, the deadly poison and the rust, the picture is of corrosion. Something that is useless. Something that certainly does not have any persuasiveness. Something that is off-putting. And yet against all of that, James warned about that, and that's all we're going to say about that at the moment. Against all of that, we have already mentioned the great benefit of a kind word. Of a kind word. Maybe someone has come and said something to you and they knew it would hurt you, but they were stern and you thought, well, why are they saying that to me like that? I've never done anything on them. And it really, could I say it cut you? Or it really hurt you? Well, the best thing that you can do is offer a kind word. Someone told us one time about a man, I can't remember who he was. I don't think he was a preacher, but he was involved in the Lord's work and very well known anyway. And some people were awful to him. I'm talking about Christians. And he had a reputation. If you want him to be your friend, do something bad on him. Say something hurtful to him, because he'll have a really kind word for you. Do something that annoys him or upsets him, because he will do a kind deed for you. And the best way to become a good friend of his is to be nasty to him, because he has kind words and he has kind deeds. Now, that's easier said than done, but that's the kind of testimony that that person had. So this kind word, and we're going to move on here and think of, what about a kind deed? Do you remember Ruth and Naomi? Think of poor Naomi. You can hardly think of anyone who had grown harder and more bitter and more caught up in herself than Naomi, since he had gone away to the land that Ruth come from, and certainly to the land of Moab, and it was not for her benefit to go there. But to cut a long story short, in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, this is Boaz, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich, Boaz here referring to the kindness that was found in Ruth. And Ruth, if you study her life from she was converted, her kindness that was shown to Naomi wouldn't have been good company for a lot of the time. She was sour. She was far more than just grumpy. She was nasty. And she was hard. And really, really bitter. And yet Ruth was really kind to her. And if you study through yourself, you'll see that this kindness indeed, it characterized the life of Ruth. And Ruth, who was from the Moabites, who were a cursed people, she was brought into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. So her kindness was something that stood out. And certainly we can say that it was greatly rewarded in the mind of the Lord. But you think even over there of over in 2 Kings, thinking there at chapter 5, we're thinking here of Naaman. And Naaman was one of the top generals in the land, probably the top man. He was very well liked and very well applauded for his achievements. And he was one who stood out among men as a military leader. But you'll note that he had leprosy. We know the story, we've preached on it before. He had leprosy, but in his house there was a little maid. Now if you look there in verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited upon Naaman's wife." Here's a young girl, and she's away from her surroundings that were familiar. She's away from family. She's away from all that she loved the best. And she's now working in Naaman's house. But this is what she said. Verse 3. "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She didn't have to say that. You may say, well, what thanks was she going to get for it? Well, she was looking above that and she wasn't thinking of thanks. And folks, we live in a world and sometimes you don't get thanks. Because the world, and I'm speaking of the world out there in general, it is bitter and harsh and very, very crude and extremely selfish. And you may not get thanks. By the way, have you ever noticed now when you let people out in your car, not as many people acknowledge you as you used to? It's usually the real old people who don't even put their hand up. I don't know why. But I'll put my hand up anyway and wave at them and let them on out. But a kind deed. How kind Ruth was to Naomi and also to Boaz. How kind this little maid was. For you'll see here that this king, and no one told, this was his own man. Nobody dictated to him what to do. As far as his leprosy was concerned. But him and his wife, they acted upon what the maid said. They acted upon what she said. Because what she said, it was kind words from a kind heart, and it was a kind deed. Because it led to him being recovered of his leprosy. And the folks, it's perhaps quite easy to be like that when people are all pleasant with us. But it is harder to be kind when people are not pleasant with us. And certainly we see that there is, when we look into the Bible, there is this place for kindness. And there's a place for kindness down with those two ladies that I spoke to you down in McGarbury. There's a place for kindness there. And there's a lady who has, through friendship, has got in, is helping there in any way she can as a neighbour. But tremendous kindness. There's no question about that. This kindness is something. It is not softness. You know, it would be wrong for people to turn away from a Christian if they bring something up to him. We'll just use the Asher's Bakery situation because that is well known to everyone at the moment. Or the same-sex marriage situation. That kind of thing. And you say, no, don't agree with it at all. Don't agree with it. Think it's totally wrong. Well, that doesn't mean you're not kind. The kindest thing that you could do to a person is, if you get the opportunity, explain to them your position and how there's a better way. Now, they may think you're arrogant in saying that it's a better way, but nonetheless, that is your own testimony. Being kind is not softness. It is not weakness. Sometimes as a Christian, you have to absolutely just stand your ground, and if people say all manner of things to you, well, you have to let them do that. I think I told you before, a woman hit me one time. Don't know why. But I didn't just jump when her daughter tried to dictate to me how to do things, and try to explain. And she started thumping me like this, knocked me right across the room. And all the other people that were still there at the prayer meeting, they nearly died. I couldn't believe it. I stood there, I thought, I was going to go home and say, right, sure, phone the boat, I'm going home now. I don't need this, I'm not used to this. But you know the best thing you can do? Be kind. Be kind. There's a place for kindness. But I want to move on, and I want to just say here, by the way, that there's only a letter of difference between the Greek word for gentleness, which is Christos, meaning kindness, and Christ. The Greek name for Christ is Christos. There's only one letter of difference, and that shows me something. We're never more like Christ than when we're being kind. Some kind deed for someone this week. What a blessing it will bring to our own hearts if we're able to do that. But I want to move on from the place of kindness that needs to be there in our lives, the prompting to kindness. Let's look, please, over at 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "But Apostle Paul says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments and tumults and labours and watchings and fastings, by pureness of knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned." You will see here that Paul wrote to these Corinthians, he was really defending his ministry. There's difficulties there, you knew that. With Corinth, many, many serious difficulties there that had to be addressed. But he was showing them here what they would find in him. And that's what they did find in him. And they found kindness in him. And kindness was something that he exhorted to the other people at Corinth. To be kind to each other. He exhorted it there to the people in Ephesians. The church at Ephesus that we read of. And being looking at Colossians at the moment, over in Colossians 3. And the verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness." But do you see where it says there? It says, "Put on." Therefore, it's something that you and I have to consciously do. I can't just go out and say, if that person's a bit nasty, well, we'll see what happens. If I bite back, I bite back. And I have bitten back before. It's not the way to go, generally. Wish I hadn't done it. Maybe you've bitten back as well. But I've learned, kindness is good. Kindness is good. He says here, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness." Put it on. Consciously be kind. That's what he's saying. In fact, someone said regarding the reference here to kindness, that this kindness is a priceless virtue. It is a priceless virtue. And all through the Word of God, I'm going to read what it says over there in 2 Peter. Again, I'm moving on, so you don't worry if you can't find it. It's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness." It's good to be kind to the public in general. But how important it is that you and I would be kind to each other. That we would be kind to each other. Brotherly kindness. You don't like everything about me, I'm sure. There's some things, perhaps, in my mannerism or something. You think, oh, I'd like to change that, or I don't like the way he says this, or whatever. Maybe I, because of limited education at school, maybe I use repetitives, or my grammar's not brilliant. That's okay. And maybe you think some people don't like everything about you either. That's all okay. Doesn't mean that there cannot be that brotherly kindness. It's not hard to be civil. That's really what the apostle here is saying. Unto godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which really is Christian love. If I can turn here a little bit from being kind to each other, which is prompted by the Bible, We see here this place for kindness, well, it's found in the Bible, but it is also prompted by the Bible. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah hated the Ninevites. And if I was in his position, I would probably hate them as well, because of what they had done to his people. But the Lord very, very clearly commissioned him to go and to preach unto the Ninevites. But you see, the difficulty with Jonah was this, that he was completely at a time taken up with himself. He was not making any progress at that time. He was the Lord's servant. I believe personally that he was a very, very able preacher. And the Lord gave him favor with the Ninevites. But in his heart, there was that element of resentment toward them, which on a human level we could say would be understandable. But nonetheless, the Lord spoke unto him again. And eventually he went on to the Ninevites, and we know that many of them turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even at that time, we have to say that Jonah wasn't that overly enamored with them at all. He was huffing, sulking, and complaining, and whinging when the gird withered away. And all of those kinds of things marked him. And how much better it would be, he did do what the Lord sent him to do, how much better it would be for me and for every Christian to do what the Lord wants us to do, but to do it with kindness. To do it with kindness. Paul, obviously, he did it with great kindness. Jonah did it because he knew he had to do it. The first time he ran away, and he was on dangerous ground, because it says he ran away from the presence of the Lord. He was going to go from bad to worse. And that's what always happens when you run away from the presence of the Lord. But rather, if he'd done what he did do with kindness, people remember that. People everywhere remember works of kindness. So brethren and sisters, as Christians, can we try to remember the great power of kindness? People will not remember everything we say. But if you do a kind deed, they'll remember that. And some people you only meet once. And you have an opportunity to do some sort of a kindness to them. Well, then do it. Do it for the Lord's glory. Who knows what can come from that kindness. We look there briefly at the place of kindness. It has to be in God's word or God's work, because it's shown us in God's work. We used the example where it was found with Naomi and also with Naaman. But then the prompting to kindness, well, it's all through the word. And there's lots of other references you can turn to here with Peter and with especially with Paul. And constantly he's prompting the people to be kind. To have that kindness in what they do. But I want you to notice finally some pictures of kindness. And by that I mean two people who really stood out by the kind word and the kind deed. And one of them was Joseph. And when he received and he forgave his brethren, though he had it in his power to demand justice for them wronging him. And that is a human thing. You know, justice must be done in a land, don't get me wrong. And the judicial system must be put into action for crimes. That is true. But here is a man on a very personal level, his own flesh and blood had wronged him greatly. They had wronged him greatly. And it was very, very easy to think, you know, my day will come. And somehow or other, you're going to pay for this. That's a human thing. I could name you lots of places today, and that's exactly where people are, waiting, biding their time. I've actually spoken to people before and said, you know, see these things, you better just bury it and let it go and move on. I'm not burying anything. They didn't bury anything. So many years ago they did this. Well, you look there in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 15. It says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. You see, they knew themselves that there's every reason why he shouldn't be too happy with them. And will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. It's in their hearts, you see, they were thinking, he thinks the same as us. They put themselves in his position, and they thought, well, if I was in his position, I would want to be out getting my own back. Well, they were wrong. Because Joseph was not vindictive. It says, "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command thee before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God." If you look there in verse 20 and 21, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now just take a moment there, Christian. Someone has hurt you. Maybe they said something. Maybe they're Christians and maybe they're not. And they've hurt you in some way and you can't see. You can't see why. Well, I'm sure whenever Joseph was thrown into the pit, he couldn't see why. And he was doing everything to honor the Lord in Egypt, and because of Pharaoh's wife, or Potiphar's wife, because of his wife, he ended up in prison. I'm sure he couldn't understand why. But at the end of the day, here's what he's able to say. "As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." God meant it for good. Think of that. Someone does hurt you or says a nasty thing to you, or whether they're converted or not. If you react the way that Joseph did, there can be a very positive outcome. Look what it says there in verse 21. "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." It was the very last thing that they expected. And this was an unusually harsh situation. That's why I picked Joseph here as one of the individuals, as a tremendous picture. His whole life radiated kindness. And what an example he is for you and I to follow. Remember David then? David was anxious to show kindness to the house of Jonathan. And the result was that he invited Mephibosheth to come and to dine with him. And it's 2 Samuel, and this is the final reference, chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. And if you read there, from verses 1, indeed read all of the chapter, you will see here that he has sent for Mephibosheth. You see what it says there in verse 9, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Do you remember that kindness that Jonathan showed to David? Well, David, he was ever in his debt. On a human level, Jonathan saved his life sometimes when Jonathan's dad Saul tried to kill him. And who knows how many other times he showed him kindness. But you see the way he refers to it in verse 3. It says, "And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" This kindness is important. And he sent for him. And they went to Lodebar, which means a place of no pasture. Mephibosheth had nothing, and it was a place where there was nothing. And he took him, and he brought him to his table there in verse 7, "to eat bread at my table continually." And if you study that whole passage and you compare David's attitude on other occasions as well, David was a man who showed tremendous kindness. Now, he wasn't a perfect man, I know that. But he showed tremendous kindness in his life. I think it was John Wesley, or it's Charles Wesley, who said this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." The power of kindness. And folks, I do trust that the Lord will help us. In days of hardness and harshness and nastiness in some cases, and real harshness that you don't like, what about kindness? May the Lord help us to be kind. And again, I repeat this, may the Lord help us to be kind to each other. Someone said one time, I remember him speaking, I'm not going to say who it was, he was speaking at, briefly at an ordination years and years ago, and he said to the man who was ordained, and he said with the congregation, he said, and just laughed, and he said, you know, he says, they're not perfect, you know. He says, but you remember, neither are you. And he mentioned the word kindness. And how important it is that there is this kindness to each other. Be ye kind one to another. Time is gone. And may the Lord bless His word. And may the Lord help us to be kind people to each other and to those outside the house as well.